This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Harriet Tubman is celebrated for rescuing men, women, and children from slavery and organizing a network of safe houses called the Underground Railroad. Tubman is a hero. But is she a philanthropist? Writer Valeda Fullwood would say, no. At its core, the word philanthropy simply means the love of humanity. But these days, philanthropy is associated only with money. Well, Valeda Fullwood's new book, Giving Back, A Tribute to Generations of African-American Philanthropists, is a look at philanthropy in the hands of everyday people and the legacy of goodwill from the black community in particular. And I'm pleased to welcome the author on the show today. Valeda Fullwood joins us from the studios of WFAE in Charlotte. Welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Also with us, Charles Thomas Jr. He's a photographic, his photographic portraits, accompany the personal narratives in the book, Giving Back. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you.
Valeda, tell us a little bit about the book itself and the impetus behind writing this book.
Yes, Giving Back is an effort to reframe portraits of philanthropy. It's meant as a photographic coffee table book. It's a collection of stories and black and white photography that reveal traditions of giving within the African-American community.
And it would, to be clear now, we're not talking about Oprah and Bill Cosby here, whose philanthropy is well known to all of us. You say you want to shine a light on everyday African-Americans who give back to their communities. Why is that?
Yes, as you mentioned earlier, sometime at the turn of the last century, the word philanthropy was narrowed to focus only on monetary giving at high levels. Titans of wealth like Carnegie and Rockefeller and Ford, and we all are aware of the philanthropy that they engaged in. But there's also lots of everyday givers who may not have millions to give, but have committed their lives to specific causes and have strengthened communities and supported individuals. And those are the folks I wanted to focus on in the book Giving Back.
Give us an example.
Well, there are a number of stories in the book, but one that I guess inspired me and seeded the book's development is my own great aunt, Dora, who around 20 years ago, I remember my mother gave me a call and told me that my Aunt Dora, who had just retired, had started a soup kitchen in Asheboro, North Carolina. And I was struck by that because she had had a life of service. She had been a den mother and a foster mother and a mother to her own children and a grandmother and pastor of a church. And so at 70, I thought she was winding down and deserved to do just that. But instead, she founded a soup kitchen in a fragile part of town, and it's been in operations for the last 20 years, and she's in her 90s and continues to cook and volunteer and serve. And I'm inspired by that and her commitment over the duration of her life.
And one of the interesting things about that story is not only how long she's been at it, but the fact that, in a sense, as exceptional as it sounds, it comes to her as part of her history. It's an idea that was passed down to her. She didn't come full blown and born anew into this new idea. She inherited the idea.
Exactly, and I'm an heir to it as well, and wanted to pay tribute to our four mothers and fathers who set this example and set this tradition that the legacy continues today, not just with me, but with Charles and other givers in the community.
And you said in the past that some of the impetus for this book came from ideas that people had about philanthropy and African Americans. And I know in 2003 in the journal called The Chronicles of Philanthropy, they did a research study that looked into how African-Americans give and how much they give. And you talk about that research in the beginning of your book. Share it with us.
Yes, I was struck by the fact that on average, African-Americans give 25% more of their discretionary income to charitable causes than do Americans of European descent. And if you read stories about philanthropy and see the headlines about giving and annual reports, often the stories and the images don't match with that fact. And so giving back was a way, the book was a way to provide a counter narrative and to introduce new imagery in the realm of philanthropy and generosity that lifts up these stories that are often overlooked and off the radar, in part because they're average, everyday people that are engaged in the work, and it may not merit being on a newspaper front page.
Well, and that's because the averageness and everydayness of them doesn't allow as many zeros after their donation as the headline givers. But the percentage of their wealth is far greater, making that gift far more meaningful, I guess, in some ways.
Right. Well, I think if we look at the number of zeros by the hours that people donate to communities and give to causes, I think that's pretty powerful. And some of the time and talent, as well as oftentimes the dollars, while they may not be large by conventional standards, they're quite significant, all told, the time, talent, and treasure and wisdom that folks bring to their work in communities.
Well, in addition to the stories, of course, there are photographs. Charles, tell us how you became a part of the project.
Well, I was very fortunate that Valeda approached me with the idea, I guess about 4 years ago, and shared with me her desire to create a book and to tell the stories of African-American philanthropy. And it completely fit in with my photographic mission. You know, my mission is to, as a photographer, is to, part of what I do is to preserve the heritage and culture of the community. And a part of what I like to do as well is to bring forth positive images of the African-American community. Based upon my background and based upon, you know, as Valeda had mentioned, is sometimes the images are not as positive as we'd like them to be about, you know, how we're contributing to the community and to our own upliftment. And so you're mentioning the dollar amount and, you know, just getting reminded again that, you know, folks in the African-American community give almost a larger percentage of their discretionary income to giving, and that's just significant. And I felt that the images would help to give us a visual to portray the power of how folks give in little ways. And I was hoping to capture that by the ways that we photograph folks in their own environment from, you know, different perspectives and angles. So I'm very proud of what we were able to accomplish.
And after working on this book, you started to recognize philanthropy in your own social networks. What did you learn from photographing these men and women?
Well, one of the things, as Valeda mentioned her story of a personal story, is one, I learned a lot more about what my mom did as a philanthropist growing up in terms of, you know, we grew up in a neighborhood in Charlotte and in a public housing neighborhood. And she later became a manager of that public housing apartments. And just hearing the stories of how she helped in the community to help with childcare, to after school programs, to helping folks pay their rent, which you don't normally hear a manager of apartments doing. And then as well, it's just all the wonderful people that I've met who, from young people who are starting programs of giving and connecting to the community, to older folks who shared such wisdom about how they were influenced by their parents and their grandparents on giving, and how it's important to do it in small ways and big ways, but that it's just an integral part of who we are, that it's a part of, you know, how we move forward is by reaching back.
It's interesting. It points to the motivation and intention of the givers as well. You talked about your mother coming from that situation. She lived in that housing project or housing project like it, and had the experience, a shared experience. And that's sometimes different than those who are very wealthy, perhaps born into wealth, who very generously give of their time, talent, and treasure, but perhaps not out of that same well of common experience.
Right. That's precisely what we wanted to bring to these stories, and a distinct perspective or line of vision that African-American philanthropists bring to the mix. And it's often haven't had the experiences and living in the communities where some of the challenges and where the challenges exist.
You say the spirit of giving, Valeda, came from in the African-American community, started very early and can be traced back to the arrival of Africans in America. Explain for us the concept of Ubuntu.
Ubuntu is an African mindset or philosophy that embraces the community. It means I am because you are, And I think that's a spirit that is very much a part of African-American giving, that it's born out of a sense of community and mutuality and responsibility.
We used the example of Harriet Tubman when we began this segment. And, you know, you could argue that that is a form of philanthropy when you give your own safety for the safety of others. But would you share another early example of philanthropy from African-American communities?
Certainly. One example that I learned about recently and took note of, and that's the example of Richard Allen and Absalom Jones, who were early founders of the Black Church. They were in Philadelphia in the late 1700s, and they established the Freed African Society, which was a mutual aid society and provided to support to newly freed Africans and other freed Americans, Black Americans. And they provided support in a number of ways, and most notable during I believe it was a yellow fever epidemic that hit America and hit Philadelphia particularly hard. They organized around it and provided support to the sick and the dying and to families who had sick and dying family members. And they also were founders of the Black Church, which is at the heart of Black philanthropy and its long tradition of giving among African-Americans through their church.
I'm talking with Valeda Fullwood and Charles Thomas, Jr. Valeda has written a book of stories called Giving Back, about African-American philanthropy in the United States, along with Charles's photographs that are in this book and a collection. And Valeda, the churches and schools in a way institutionalized the giving, but in some ways made it invisible because they were a kind of part of everyday routine life that did, as I suggest, is it fair to say, institutionalized giving?
Yes, precisely. Because African-Americans were excluded from lots of forms and institutions of giving, we created our own systems. Hence, the Black Church is an example of that. Historically, Black colleges and universities are also examples of that, and mutual aid societies and lots of civic and social groups that were ways that people were able to address community needs and provide communal assistance. And as a result, it landed off the radar of what's conventionally known as institutional philanthropy or what's deemed philanthropy. And the book Giving Back is meant as a bridge, one, within the African-American community to lift up the stories and to reclaim the root meaning of philanthropy and acknowledge the fact that we engage in philanthropy and are philanthropists. And then, two, to connect to institutional philanthropy, because I think the more inclusive philanthropy is, then the more equitable and responsive it is to community needs.
And Charles, you chose to photograph people in their environments outside of a studio. Is it fair to say that was to reflect in some ways what Valeda is talking about, the kind of everydayness of giving?
Definitely. That was one of the happy accidents as a part of the process of the project. Is originally we were going to be in the studio and try to basically get as many people in as we could in a short period of time, just because of the timeline of the book. But due to lots of different circumstances, we were able to shift that and photograph folks in their own environment. That way I was able to go to people in their homes, go to their rec centers that were named after them, see them working with children. And so I'm really excited that we were able to do that because, like you said, it does give more of a background and a context of how they give. And then when we were in the studio, part of it was to try to get folks to get their emotions out and to kind of have them share their stories and to capture that as well.
And Valeda, I know because of the way we tell the story, the narrative of the civil rights movement, again, it's a lot about the headlines, but this kind of giving is very much at the foundation of the civil rights movement, is it not? It's churches. It's about people sacrificing to each other for a greater good before even encountering the superstructure out there that is the source of injustice. We have to give and sacrifice among each other.
You're exactly right. And collective giving is at the root of that. Perhaps not an individual because of relative low wealth within African-American community. People were able to give with small gifts and give collectively, much like my giving circle today, which carries on that legacy. My giving circle, New Generation of African-American Philanthropists, we pool our charitable dollars and make grants to promising nonprofits and programs that are having an impact on issues that affect African Americans. And that's part of the legacy born from Africa and during slavery and Jim Crow and the civil rights era, on how we were able to overcome obstacles and make progress.
I want to read one of the quotes, this one from Michael Sales, an artistic mentor. "For black people, philanthropy is not a luxury. It is a survival technique. Our extended family culture requires us to look at the helpless and the needy not as a wayward other, but as a brother, sister, cousin, or uncle. But what's most remarkable is that even as we help others who are at risk, we ourselves are often at risk at the same time." So that's a little bit about what you're talking about. This becomes, whether it wants to or not, whether it's intended or not, part of a larger movement.
Precisely. And I love Michael's sentiment. That's part of the reason it appears early in the book, because I think it sets the tone. And that belief system and value system is reflected throughout the stories. I mean, he articulated it extremely well, but it's certainly shared in many of the stories featured in Giving Back.
You know, it's interesting. We were just talking about what's going on Wall Street now, spreading all across the country, and it occurs to me that there's a kind of a relationship, which is what people do when they need to find a way to express themselves. You become ingenious if you don't have all of the resources. The ingenuity in giving among people whose resources may not be as great is something else that's reflected. And Valeta, maybe I can ask you to talk a little bit about that, about the ingenious ways in which people find to share when they aren't particularly wealthy when it comes to dollars.
Right. I think that's one of the exciting things in these stories and part of these traditions and customs, that just amazing ingenuity was revealed in how people responded to needs. One of the stories, a woman was able to found a new nonprofit, and because she wanted to make sure her daughter had positive examples of how to give back and knowledgeable about how to manage her wealth, which includes giving back. So she founded a giving circle and program for young girls, and that's called First Purse. And I think that's a pretty innovative idea, and the fact that a mom was inspired by her own daughter's questions, that she was inspired to start this program that is flourishing. And she's a member of our giving circle, and some of the thinking about her own philanthropy was seeded in that experience and then spawned her own giving circle and program.
Jen Charles, you're the new director for Queen City Forward, a social entrepreneurship support network. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Yes, Frank. It's actually an organization that was founded in Durham. There's another organization called Bull City Forward, and our mission is to enable socially innovative entrepreneurs who are interested in assisting in going after those challenges in our community in a very entrepreneurial way, so that we can solve them in a scalable way, as well as to solve them in a way that's sustainable. So I'm very excited to have that new role here in Charlotte and excited about what's happening in the Triangle area in Durham with Bull City Forward.
And Valeta, finally, why is it important to reframe these ideas about philanthropy in general?
Well, I think a new generation of young African Americans and just Americans in general need a full range of stories. There's risk in having a singly framed or narrowly framed story, and a lot to gain from having an abundance of stories from different points of view and experiences. And I think by embracing the wealth of ideas and giving, we're in a better position to address the challenges that we're facing today economically and that we'll face in the future.
Valeda, beautiful book. Charles, beautiful photographs. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Valeda Fulwood is the author of Giving Back, a tribute to generations of African-American philanthropists. The book features photographic portraits taken by Charles Thomas. For more information about the Giving Back project, you can go to newphilanthropists.org. Coming up, a conservationist tells us whatever happened to save the whales. Stay tuned.